Last time on Wanderlust.
Hello, Estelle. How are you?
Dr. Reese, is that you?
We are in the very heart of the wild, a place that it took me a long time to find. Kind of the thing about finding the hearts of the wild are you have to get truly lost. Apparently, this gift lets you speak to someone lost.
I don't know if that makes more sense than teleporting me somewhere. I think either one seems pretty fantastical at this point.
Have you been experiencing odd symptoms, maybe? Growth, perhaps?
Have you had something similar?
I have, and I think you're already well on your way to finding me. It means you're changing, Estelle. It's already begun. It's a path that I started myself, and it led me all the way here. Follow me if you can, but I warn you, the pathway is rough, and as I said, it will change you. It feels like I'm being weird about it.
It does.
You have to cut off her hand, by the way, or her arm, or her leg.
What?
To stop the thing. So, I can hear better than most people. You have to cut off her hand or her arm or her leg, wherever it started. You have to cut it off. That's what I had to do. And then a hologram of a planet pops up. And she goes, so I'm from there.
What? What is there?
Not here.
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you, ma'am. I was not talking about a scratch on your hand. I was talking about, like, 500 zombies made of trees wandering out of the woods and attacking me and my friends.
Well, you'd think I had something to do with that? That doesn't have to do with me.
I think you'd tell Mitchell. I don't know that you'd tell me that you knew something was going on.
Where is this all coming from? I thought we were gonna go have a nice night.
Where's it all coming from, ma'am? I got attacked by zombies.
I know, we...
My friends all got half-killed by zombies.
We all got attacked by zombies. I promise you, if I know something from being out there, I'm gonna tell you.
What?
Especially if that whatever was out there seems to be coming towards us.
I didn't say go on a date with Tetties.
It's not something you bring a bug man too, you know? That's just not the vibe. Intimate friends, lovers, family, you know, it's that kind of thing. How does typically the person that kisses the person that keeps going on adventures handle that?
You talked about portable radio?
She just kind of like looks you up and down and goes, we're gonna make a really big backpack.
Estelle, as you walk into the Smoke and Bone, it's fairly crowded. You saw Autumn go over with Willow. They're kind of wedged into a table that Willow was lucky enough to save. And as you look over, there's one seat open at the bar where Fred is sitting, next to where Fred is sitting.
Yeah.
Is Fred, like, fully healed up at this point? Like, surprisingly quickly?
Yeah, I mean, you might still have, like, you know, when you breathe in, it's like, ow, and you might still have a bit of a limp, but you're doing pretty good. Surprisingly good.
Yeah, Estelle will walk up to him, and she'll put her hand on his shoulder. Hey, Fred, how are you doing? It's good to see you out of the doctor's office.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad to be out of there. It's good to see you. I'm surprised at how quickly I'm healing, Nick. Still got a little bit of bumps and bruises around, but not too bad, all things considered.
Out of curiosity, have you noticed any of those, any of the cuts you got, acting weird? Like, they feel a little bit rough, like callousy or something like that?
Do I notice any of my cuts acting weird?
No, not that, but you do, you have had those visions You did have that thing where your eyes flashed green and you healed quickly.
Yeah, all of which we've heard before.
Yeah, do I know that my eyes flashed green?
I don't know if they told you or not. I think unless Estelle or Juliet specifically told you, you would not necessarily know that.
I think they were specifically cagey on it. I think they specifically did not tell Fred, if I remember right.
Yep.
They like kind of beat around the bush about it.
That's correct. Yeah, we were trying to figure out what the level of symptoms you were experiencing.
Yeah.
So has he had more hallucinations? I guess that would be the main question.
Yeah, you would have had more hallucinations like you did before. Those are semi-frequent, you know, for Fred at this point.
I haven't noticed anything weird with the cuts, but I have been having these, like, daydreams? I guess you'd call them? My mind just tends to wander to, I assume it's of the forest, right?
Yep.
My mind just tends to wander off into the forest.
Yeah, I've experienced some of that too, so I imagine that means we're going back out there pretty soon.
I mean, do you think we should go chasing whatever it is we're seeing in these visions?
I don't know. I think some of them might not be a bad place to start.
Quick question for Cody.
Yep.
So Estelle had, obviously Fred wouldn't know this, but Estelle had like very specific, like she had that vision with that specific person who like explained a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What have Fred's visions been like? Have they been a lot more esoteric like the first one?
A lot more vague.
Okay.
I would say that there are maybe three things that are repeating, because for you, you had that vision of like a meadow where you saw like a butterfly emerging from a cocoon and then a bear tumbling through it as it was trying to kill something, I believe is how I described it.
It was running away from a bird, and then the bird...
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. So you would probably have visions like that, those zoom-ins on these small, beautiful parts of nature destroyed by larger parts. You would have visions like a wood at night and just seeing glowing eyes circling you. Then another of dawn in a deep, dark forest full of mist as you look out into like an endless series of these vague smudges of trees in the fog. And those are the types of things that you're seeing.
Okay.
But, you know, we don't have to worry about that tonight. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful night for the jellyfish bloom. Hey! Do you have anyone that you're going there with? Because you've never been.
Yeah, I've never been to this. It's very pretty. I was probably going to go check it out. I don't have anyone specific I was going with.
Hey, that sounds great. You know, I was just going to get a drink, and then we can head down there together and hang out some. I feel like, you know, now that you're out of the doctors, you could probably use a friend to hang out with.
I mean, yeah, that sounds pretty good to me.
As you're saying that, Honey kind of ambles over and leans between the two of you, staring pointedly at Estelle, and goes, "Maybe, my dear Fred," and she like pats Fred on the shoulder, "forgot, but he agreed to escort me and some of my lady friends to the beach for the jellyfish, so you can find your own dashing gentleman, please."
Estelle had been looking hopeful that she would have someone to go to the beach with. And when Honey shows up and interrupts, her shoulders kind of slump down. I didn't know. I guess he must have forgotten.
Yeah, must have forgotten, I guess.
Nope.
And Fred looks very confused.
No problem. You guys have a good time. It's supposed to be really lovely this year.
As you're about to get up, Honey looks at you and goes, "Dear, you're a lovely woman, and you should, you know, find someone your own age and not spend jellyfish night with Fred, who you've spent every night in the forest with, you know?" And she, like, leans forward and goes, If you were gonna make a move, you would have made it by now.
Estelle, like, flushes, and stands up. Nope, it's fine. He's all yours. Have a good night.
I know he's all mine.
And she... she goes to another part of the bar, squeezes in, and orders a drink away from Fred and Honey.
Did Fred hear that conversation?
Yeah, I would say you probably could have. I don't think that Honey's, like, subtle. She turns around and just kind of, like, leans on the bar and just stares at you. So, are you planning on you know, marrying Estelle or dating Estelle or just sleeping with Estelle?
Well, I can't say that was my plan. Like, it's a very odd question.
It's an odd okay. No, it's not. At some point, when you spend hours mostly alone with somebody, they're either a friend or more than a friend, you know. So is she a friend or is she more than a friend?
What do you mean mostly alone? Whenever I'm out in the wilds, I'm also with Juliet and Autumn.
Are you planning on dating Juliet or Autumn?
No, we're all a group of friends.
Here's my point. You shouldn't go to the jellyfish with Estelle. That's fine. But I don't.
Okay, well, this is the first time I've had the opportunity to see this particular event, so I don't know anything about it.
Well, it's extremely romantic. Now, escorting a fine group of old ladies is, I think, excusable because, you know, we demand an escort, and I believe it is our right to do so as old ladies that want to be escorted by someone else, you know.
So when Estelle asked me if I wanted to go with it to the thing, he's just going to leave it there, kind of thinking it through.
I don't think she was. No, it's not that. What I think it is that Estelle's looking for someone to go with, and I don't... I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. I'm an old lady. I interfere. It's kind of what I do. And as much as I love the idea of playing matchmaker, sometimes I also have to be like, match, are you sure? And I think this was a match, are you sure? You know? My point is, I think Estelle's looking for somebody else. I hope. But that brings me to a question. Who are you looking for, Fred?
I can't say I've really thought too much about it.
All right, so I'm confused. And again, maybe this is the value of a perspective with time under her belt. You're still a youngish man, you know.
I mean, that ish is a little harsh.
Oh, sorry, you're a young man, Fred.
Okay, I think that's worse.
It was, right? Honesty's better. You're a youngish man, Fred, all right? You don't yet have to just randomly get other people to escort you down a beach like I do. I will say it's a perk of age, so don't squander that when you get to be my age. But I digress. You came to a new town, set up your little shop. You've been the hero providing tools to town. You've rescued children. And you're going to use all of that goodwill to just get kidnapped by old ladies to drag you down to Jellyfish Town?
That sounds like an innuendo.
It really did.
That sounded like a double entendre.
Was it not, honey?
It wasn't.
Was it not?
I'm disappointed, honey. I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed that it wasn't one. You
That's
know?
What I mean.
We know what honey's angling for.
I want to know what your goal is here. Like, you came to Smoky Banks. You have to live somewhere. I get that. It seems like you can't live where you came from. But there's a, you know, there's a life to live. What do you want that to be here?
Well, for the moment, I've just been enjoying finding new metals to make new tools out of and working my shop and just keeping busy there. Haven't had a lot of time for much else.
You should make time for something else. Should find some fun, you know? Maybe do something dangerous? That's always good.
I mean, what's more dangerous than going out to the wilds by yourself to go get more metal? I mean, you know how I ended up in the hospital, right?
Okay, something fun and dangerous. I don't just mean, like, poke a bear in the eye. I mean, like, you know, skydiving.
See, I don't think you get me. The whole making tools and finding the metals and making new stuff out of the new metals, that is fun.
Is that enough for you?
I mean, it's been enough until now.
I think maybe that's what I am asking, is it has been enough until now. Do you think there's, you know, like, a way for you to grow to be more than that while you're here?
I mean, maybe. I guess I'm just trying to figure out what your angle on this is. Like, why is this so important to you?
Because I meddled. Mostly because I am meddlesome. And for me, fun is meddling in other people's lives. That's the most fun for me. And also tormenting my grandchildren by meddling in their lives and judging their love lives and then meddling in judging their love lives. That's the best. Just hours spent.
Spit off Wanderlust series as all of Honey's grandchildren.
I mean, that doesn't sound particularly fun for them.
It's not. Nope. Nope. But again, there's an advantage of age. At some point, I feel that they owe me one for, like, twice removed birthing them. So, you know, they get to deal with it. It's not like they can stop talking to me. You know, we live in the same town.
Yeah, it'd be kind of...
still gonna show up.
That'd be kind of difficult.
Right? And it's like, what are they gonna do? Not invite me? I'll show up anyways. And then still make trouble.
I guess I'll think about what we talked about here. Don't have an answer for you right now.
You should! What I'm saying is, you can make things anywhere, right? But you're here. So, fine. Some reason to stay here. Does that make sense? I think what I'm worried about is you leaving again. And I say worried, not like losing, but you know, I don't want you to go. I want there to be something that hooks you into this place besides constant danger.
Yeah, I don't have any plans to go anywhere else right now.
That's not good. That's not good. I don't want to be the worst, just the most convenient option, you know. I want you to want to stay here.
I don't think Fred has an answer for that.
She just goes, think about it, and then goes, ladies! And just like a gaggle of honey clones come over and grab onto your arms and just drag you out down towards the beach. Also, I'm sorry, I slapped my microphone.
Yeah, and Fred will escort them down the beach. Because it seems like he doesn't have a choice.
The conversation is immediately just deep, probing, and overly personal questions. Like, have you been married? Do you have kids? Where are they? Where are your parents? Are you close with them? Do you have any siblings? Did you have a fight with your siblings? It's just constant. Just like a constant barrage of all of these things. What does Estelle do?
So Estelle has ordered her fruity drink that comes with an umbrella, and she is going to leave the Smoke and Bones. She probably leaves before Fred and Honey do, depending on how long her drink takes to make, but I'm going to say she probably leaves before. I think she just kind of starts walking. It's quiet, and everyone else is going the opposite direction she is. So she's just kind of walking.
Are you walking in the direction of the beach or away from it?
Oh, no, away from it.
Cool. So you just meander your way through town. It is dead silent. All you have to do, really, is mostly just go over in your head that, like, the kind of weird fight you had with Matthew, who is clearly frustrated and stressed about his responsibilities around Smoky Banks, as you just kind of meander your way around town, sipping on your fruity drink and trying to find something to do. Where do you think you end up?
I feel like I should open up the map. I think she wanders through Old Town, and she, like, she passes the vet office, because at this point she's like, I'm not gonna get any work done. And she, like, walks by where the house was that her and Matthew stayed in, like, one night together. And, like, that's pretty depressing to be in that area. And I think she kind of eventually makes her way down towards the Danaeus Arena, just from kind of like, just like, it's almost like a, oh, you know what it is? It's her like jogging path.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Her jogging path ends up being like a circle kind of around Old Town and like by the Danaeus Arena. And so I think she ends up kind of like down in that area.
So as you walk through the Danaeus Arena, you can see that they've set up, you know, like this season's obstacle course. It is well worn. You can tell that people have been crashing and smashing into stuff as, you know, platforms and obstacles are kind of knocked askew and beat up. You can see like the remnants of crashed solar boards kind of laying around, and it seems like people sort of left in a hurry. Probably they were, you know, doing practice and then just dropped everything and wandered off to the Jellyfish Arena.
To Jellyfish Town?
Did I say Jellyfish Arena?
You just did, yeah.
The Jellyfish Bloom is what I meant.
So I think when Estelle was younger, she, like, used to have a board. But in my head, they've kind of, like, she used to have a long board that was better for being on, like, the water. And, like, the kids nowadays in the Danaeus Arena have shorter boards to go up and down the ramps.
Yeah.
And so I think she's just kind of, like, looking over the boards and maybe finds one that's kind of similar, like just a crappy one that's kind of thrown in the back that kind of looks like her old one or, like, one that she used to ride. And, like, I kind of imagine it's, like, a longboard. And she, like, gets on it and just starts riding around the arena with her fruity drink and her little umbrella.
Make me some kind of like skill check for doing this.
CrossFit?
That would work.
Plus 3.
So the way these solar boards work, and I'm trying to remember now the way that we described these. So these are like electronically powered boards, and the way I imagine them is they can't fly per se, but they have like sails on them, so they can kind of like catch air and hover, if that makes sense.
I think we kind of compare them, actually I think Zach compared them to the Treasure Planet boards, and that is kind of how I imagine them, like, except not as like able to fly as high.
Yeah, those ones just straight up fly, right?
I think they do, but you do see him, like the aesthetic, but also you do see him hovering mostly. I think he, like, jumps off a cliff at some point, and that's why it flies.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it has, you know, Breath of the Wild glider mechanics, right?
Yeah.
But then also is able to gather speed from, you know, whatever motor there is or, you know, circuitry in it.
Yeah, so I think she's, like, just tipsy enough that it's got, like, a sail with, like, a thing to hold on to. And she's just kind of like leaning back with her drink in one hand and holding on to the sail with the other hand.
And as you're going, so like with a 3, that's pretty good, right? And you're feeling really good about yourself as you're doing this. You're like, man, I got this. I got this in the bag. Like, I'm so used to doing this. I did this when I was a kid. I remember what this is like. And you're starting to get like higher and higher into this obstacle course that's fairly vertical, right? It goes up pretty high and you don't crash. You're like, yeah, this is no problem. And you're like kind of looking down like, oh, this is pretty high up here now. This is like not, I am dangerously high off the ground as you're still like going through like off ramps and over jumps that are really not meant to be solar boarded over.
Well, and especially not like a long version of it. Like, this is pretty stupid.
And as you're doing that, you look down and you see Sheriff Mitchell on the ground and you hear him yelling something. Make me some kind of perception check.
I'm going to guess I don't need to roll with danger sense. Composed? Oh, no. Well, no, sorry. My other notice is inquisitive, not composed.
I feel like composed works better because that's like being calm as this is happening. And, like, trying to be careful and listen.
Okay. That's a zero.
You don't hear anything. As you're, like, looking down, you're like, why is Sheriff Mitchell yelling? I'm doing fine. You, like, go off a ramp, and you're like, yeah, totally cool. And then...
I think at one point, she's holding her drink, and she does, like, flipping the bird with it. We can't really see it because she's got her drink, so she's just like flipping him off with her drink in the air.
And as you do that, you notice two things. One, there's no sun, and this is called a solar board. Solar boarding at night does not go forever. It goes until the battery runs out, which it does, as you're like midway through a jump where you're like about to land and be like, I need to gather speed, right? Or I'm not going to make the next jump. So it's like, pew, board dies. Hits like an upper platform. You go off that edge and just get T-boned by a bird.
A bird?
As, you know, a giant night eagle just like slams into you. As you are right on the edge of town at night alone. In the air, looking like a snack.
Yeah, she is.
I was thinking it.
I didn't say it was a smart idea.
So, yeah, you get slammed by a bird, and everything is just shaking, right? Like, I don't know if you've ever done something like clotheslined yourself on an ATV. You lose perspective really quick as everything's just shaking. And you just see, like, feathers flapping, and then you have, like, the sense of impact. And you, like, roll over just in time to see Sheriff Mitchell jumping aboard into the bird. And then, like, tumbling on the ground as the bird kind of, like, with a not-great-looking wing flaps its way out of the arena. He, like, rolls up to his feet, staring at you, and just goes, Estelle, what were you... Why?
Oh.
What? I was trying to say bird, and out of battery. There's birds. You're out of batteries. That's what I was trying to yell at you. Did you flip me off, by the way, while you were...
I think so. Hang on. And she's like checking herself for like injuries.
Yeah, you're bleeding. Stand up. He like kind of like comes over and picks you up and like helps you walk over to the side of the arena and he sets you down. Yeah, you're bleeding from all over. Do you want to? I can take you to the med check if you want.
I mean, the med check's kind of far. Hang on. Is it from my head?
Yeah, your head's bleeding. Yes. It's kind of from everywhere. You're covered in cuts. You got mauled by a bird.
Okay. Hang on. And Estelle is gonna... She's gonna take her shirt off. And she's gonna start using it to, like... Kind of, like, try to stop the bleeding. And also, like, clean herself up.
Mitchell, like, does this awkward thing where he, like, is looking at you and then, like, tries to, like, look away and then is, like, thinks better of it and is like, no, let me help. And he starts, like, trying to, like, you know, is, like, using your shirt to, like, try to staunch the bleeding, particularly from, like, a big cut on your forehead. And as he does that, he's like, so, now this is weird, right? Like, do I need to take off my shirt and help? It feels ungentlemanly not to, but it also then feels like showing off to just take off my shirt after I've rescued you.
Look, if you want to take off your shirt, if it makes you feel better, and you want to take off your shirt and give it to me once I'm cleaned up, I'm sure I'm not the only one who would appreciate a shirtless Sheriff Mitchell walking around.
No, Honey's made it very clear, like, several times Honey's made it very clear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she's into it.
She invites me to her swim classes.
I don't blame her. I don't.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Speaking of which, do you want to go to swim class next week with Honey?
No. No.
Please? I think it would probably, for me, like, it would work for me to show up with somebody. You know what I mean?
Is she making you go?
Yes, and I think it's, like, 50% because she likes to ogle me, and then the other 50% is because she's trying to nose in on my love life, so I could kind of two birds with one stone, you know.
He is good at taking out birds.
I am good at taking out birds, as we saw with the solar board.
I'm excited for Mandy to leave both people saying that. Just so Cody sounds unoriginal on our podcast.
I'm stealing good lines when they come up, you know.
Why not? Look, I'm not going to argue with you. Thank you for taking care of the bird for me.
I am quite heroic, I know. And he, like, looks off into the distance.
Don't do that. That honestly makes it worse.
What makes it worse? That I'm looking off into the distance heroically?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. So, I'm sorry. Am I making you uncomfortable, the person that took off her shirt to staunch the bleeding, he says with air quotes?
I don't know what you wanted me to do. I don't have anything else to stop the bleeding. And do you really want me to go across town, across the river, to the doctor's office to get cleaned up?
No, I think that was in my first aid class. It was step one, strip naked. Step two, use the first aid kit that's definitely in the Danaeus Games arena. But step one is to take off your shirt.
Is there one?
Yeah, obviously.
You don't think the kids have raided it by now?
Yeah, it's a good thing you took your shirt off. That's a good point. As he, like, kind of finishes, like, you know, getting the blood to at least stop, like, actively squirting from your forehead, which, sorry, gross imagery. Head wounds bleed a lot. Anyways, he stands up and goes, so, I guess, like, do we need to go put this in the laundry, I guess?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know what you do with a... I don't think I'm going to rewear this, if I'm going to be honest. It's,
Nonsense. Vinegar. I'm really good at getting blood out of my clothes. Don't read too much into that. And then he starts, like, unbuttoning his shirt and goes, as promised.
Oh, I mean, I
and
was...
And hands you, you know...
I was joking, but, thank you.
He puts his hands on your shoulder and goes, I never joke about giving a lady my clothes.
I don't know if I want to hear that.
I think we're there.
Yeah, it just feels like it just feels like, is it? You know, I think that bird may have just, I might be really injured because it's getting hot in here.
He looks at you in your, like, open button down shirt and it being nighttime and goes, yeah, it's totally just the birds making you hot. Anyways, if we don't want this shirt to stain forever, which would be a horrible waste, it's a lovely shirt. You know, like I said, vinegar, little bit of baking soda takes the stains right out. We just have to do it quick. And he grabs your hand and starts...
Hydrogen peroxide removes blood really well.
No, that leaves stains on the shirt, you know.
It works really well. It gets rid of all the blood. Don't read too much into that.
He takes her hand and goes, come on.
All right.
And as you guys start walking through town, it's very quiet. And, you know, you guys fall silent as you walk back through. And he goes, so you're going to have to not judge my house.
How bad is it?
Well, it's not bad, but it's... It's a fixer-upper, and I'm busy, like, a lot.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, it's like a bachelor pad, you know? So it's, like, gross.
There's a lot of books.
But books doesn't make it bad.
I tried to make my own chair, and that's not good.
I'm surprised you had time to do that.
I didn't. That's why the chair is broken.
Mm.
And as you walk, he still has his, like, hand in yours, and he kind of looks down at your hand and back up at you and goes, so, okay, be honest. Be honest. Did you have to take off your shirt, or did you decide to take off your shirt?
I mean, in the moment I had to, but I don't think it was the wrong decision. I mean, this is a great view.
he stops and looks at you and, like, looks down at you wearing his clothes and goes, I agree, it's quite a good view. And he, like, leans closer in and puts his hand on your face and goes, do we maybe want to have more good views? Well, we definitely get the stains out of your shirt.
You know, I think we might have time for that.
And when you say that, he leans in to kiss you. And when he does, you guys kind of, like, tumble back into, like, the sort of, I guess, broken-down-ish buildings of Old Town as... Shut up, Mandy! Don't laugh at me! Look, it's sort of a dilapidated area that got recently hit by storms.
I'm just concerned that we're tumbling.
Not, like, tumbling. I just mean, like, into the wall. Not, like, down a flight of stairs.
Terrified.
Or into the broken houses.
As he kisses you, you get that vibe that it's, like, he's extremely eager... And maybe a little bit fumbly, you know, like he hasn't done this a lot or recently. And then when he breaks away, he looks at you and goes, I'm sorry, was that weird? Was that...
Maybe only a little bit, but I'm not complaining.
So we should practice more then, right?
Yes.
And he leans in and kisses you again and starts dragging you off back towards his house. As... You kind of, like, tumble into a happy evening with Mitchell. into a happy evening with Mitchell.
Not down the stairs.
Not down a flight of stairs. You have this kind of, like, wonderful moment of realizing that you're, like, gonna get to wake up with somebody, you know? You're, like, cozy in a bed with a person that, at the very least, is very attractive to you. And it feels... nice in a way that you haven't experienced in a long time. You have this quiet little romantic evening and you can feel yourself looking forward to a morning where you can, you know, wake up and, oh, maybe he'll make coffee or we could go get breakfast together or just sit in bed and talk, you know. As Estelle drifts off to sleep with Mitchell, the rest of you all lay out on the beach watching this jellyfish bloom that Smoky Banks is somewhat famous for. It's easy in recent times because of how hectic and dangerous your lives have been to forget why it is that Smoky Banks is kind of a tourist attraction, but a night like this kind of helps you remember. The night is calm and cool. You hear the soft lapping of waves on the sandy beach. Just as the moon starts to rise, like an incoming wave, you see all these jellyfish starting to light up, blue and green and purple, faint pinks and light reds shimmer through the ocean as they bob and swirl. These jellyfish have long, swirling tendrils that dance in the lapping waters, and as you all sit down in the company of people that you love or are friends with or are hoping to get to know better, you experience a moment of profound peace where you're reminded why a place like Smoky Banks might matter. The next thing you remember, you wake up in the ruins of Smoky Banks. All around you, you can hear people chanting, the wolf, the long walk, the cocoon, the wolf, the long walk, the cocoon. The wolf, the long walk, the cocoon. That those phrases repeated again and again and again, growing louder and louder and louder. The wolf, the long walk, the cocoon. And you realize you yourself are shouting that as you look around and see several people standing around you, one of them being Fred, one of them being Matthew, one of them being Willow, and then several other people from town. You definitely recognize that person that was initially attacked by the tree zombies and several people from Matthew's disaster response team, all in unison shouting, "The wolf, the long walk, the cocoon." Eventually, you kind of like snap out of this stupor that you were in. It's morning. You are definitely standing out in the ruins. You can feel cold dew beneath your feet. You're wrapped in a sheet that reminds you very much of the one that you were snuggled up in with Mitchell. And you look over at Fred and see him similarly like coming out of a stupor where he was also just shouting this. But around you, those people are still chanting that same phrase over and over and over.
Fred, are you... Hey, are you okay?
How did I get here? And what were we just... What are they chanting? What were we just chanting?
The wolf, the long walk, the cocoon. I don't know what any of that means.
Me neither.
Estelle's gonna walk over to Matthew and shake his shoulder.
When you reach up and touch him, you can feel like the skin beneath your hands, or like, you know, his, for lack of a better word, flesh beneath your hand that you'd expect to give the way a human's does, feels wooden underneath his clothes, right? As you like grab his shoulder, you know, like through his shirt. You can feel what would feel like a carved statue as he continues to chant. And as you look closer, you see that his skin is totally that same wood hue, his eyes glowing bright, bright green, as he seems almost rooted to the ground, frozen in place, chanting.
She starts, like, patting the other side of his face, like, gently at first and then more frantically, the side that doesn't look wooden. Unless the whole thing is, and I heard that wrong, but she's like, Matthew, wake up! Matthew, can you hear me? Matthew!
As you do that, there is no change.
Who else was here?
Willow.
So, that would be, like, named NPCs, Matthew and Willow. Aside from that, there were the people that were closest to the tree zombies when they attacked, as well as some people from the, like, disaster response that were with Matthew.
But no Autumn.
No Autumn, no Juliet.
Hey.
I will say, just because I want to pull the curtain back on this a little bit, Juliet wasn't there, and Autumn rolled better than you and Estelle. So she didn't take as... And also, Autumn has far more physical endurance, so never took a consequence. You did take a consequence. Estelle already had a consequence, which is why both of you have this thing happening.
Okay.
So there was a mechanical reason that determined who was infected and who wasn't.
Well, that wasn't the reason why I was asking about Autumn.
Oh, okay.
Well, weren't Willow and Autumn on a date tonight? How did she get here if Autumn's not with her? Like, should we go find Autumn?
Well, I think everyone was with other people, most people with other people last night. So,
what time is it?
It's early.
What time is it?
It's morning.
Oh, it's morning.
Like early morning. Yeah, early morning.
Estelle is looking back at Fred with wild eyes after like trying to shake Matthew awake. I don't know what to do. I think we definitely need to go get Juliet and Autumn and probably Mitchell too and see if they. Maybe they can help with something. I don't know.
Hey, you stay here and keep an eye on them. I'll go find the others and bring them here.
As soon as you try to move away from this area, you get like the Dutch angle feeling, that vertigo tilt, as you feel like you're sliding off the world. there's this loud buzzing noise like bees or cicadas. And as you look across the ruins, you can feel your vision almost tunneling and sinking in as you see leaves swirling up into a very well-defined form of a woman. She's quite tall and seems resplendent. Her clothes, like the clothes that flow around her that are made of leaves that are now growing green and purple and, you know, like pink, that almost look floral as they flow down to the ground. As she walks, her body is this sort of mobile, flexible, like wooden texture as she flows towards you as if she barely touches the ground and looks at both of you.
I warned you. Change would be coming.
What did you do to Matthew?
I did nothing. I am not the wilderness. I am not the concept of the untamed. I merely follow it. I witness it.
She looks around the ruins and goes,
there were things here long before you. You found an edge of the true wilds. And there are many wonderful and horrible things in them. When you find an edge, when you find a place that really touches the unknown, touches the true wilderness, it can either change you or you can change it. Sometimes you find a way to coexist, a way to grow together. And sometimes, and she gestures around her, it leaves you in ruins. There's a task set before you now. The wolf, the long walk, and the cocoon. Fail, and Smoky Banks will become much like the place we stand now.
What does that mean? What does that mean? The wolf, the long walk, the cocoon? Where are we going? Where we start?
I can see you're impatient. People often are.
Maybe just a little bit. My son is hurt.
Your son?
My son, whatever this is doing things to my son.
Your son is changing.
She looks down and looks back at you, her eyes still that brilliant flaming green.
The wolf is a predator, and you will have to best a predator. That trial you will find far to the north, where cold winds will bite and danger will be ever present. The long walk, well, that is as the name implies, get truly lost far to your east. And for the cocoon, once you have found the other two, the third will become obvious.
She walks right up to both of you and puts warm, soft wooden hands on both of you, her hands closing gently, and goes,
change is inevitable, my friends. Sometimes it is a wonder to behold, and other times it is rot and decay and the death of something weak. See that you are not weak. I have grown quite fond of you.
No, this is not going to be an instance where it's going to be decay. We're going to figure this out.
She smiles and goes, I've heard that many times, and many times people have been right, and at times they have been wrong. I will see you soon.
And with that, that feeling of being almost vacuumed into this area starts to dissipate. And like leaves falling from an autumn tree, the forest phantom disappears. And you're again surrounded by the fixed figures of these people of Smoky Banks. Now just a whisper.
The wolf, the long walk, the cocoon.
As they stand frozen in place in the ruins.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.